here in just a minute, Exodus chapter 13. So I guess the question that we all need to answer is Jesus really first in your life? Is he really first in your life? And that's a serious question. And I think it's one that requires a lot of close examination of your life. It's always a good thing to examine yourself by God's word, to examine yourself in light of the dealing, the working of the Spirit of God in your life. You may be wondering, well, I'm not really sure if I'm putting the Lord first in every area of my life. And every time I go through a topic like this and spend time just looking into the Scripture, then I find myself really convicted and aware of a lot of areas where I'm really not making Jesus the priority of my life. And so if you feel a little ouch this morning and a little conviction this morning, I just want you to know that I feel it with you, and that the Lord deals with me about these very same things. But really, if you want to know about your priorities, evaluate a couple of things. Evaluate how you spend your time and how you spend your money. Those two things, if you just look at your bank statement and your calendar, will help you to evaluate what is going on in your life, the priorities of your life. Your calendar shows you what, if you write anything down at all, it shows you what you've been doing, shows you what your plans are, what you're going to be doing, at least what you're planning to do in the coming weeks or months. So it's a good thing to evaluate our time, especially in light of the fact that our time is limited, And people who have a lot of wealth and a lot of opportunities, then they measure all their time down to the minute, because they know that time is running out. We only have a certain span of time as far as years are concerned, and we don't want to waste them. We want to use them for the glory of God and fulfilling the plan of God that he has for our life. And then your bank statement, it reveals your priorities as far as your spending is concerned and what you're doing with the resources that God has given to you. And when you look at that, then you'll see, oh, I really spend too much in that area, and I don't put enough of it into things that really matter. And certainly true as far as the kingdom of God is concerned. So God's order and God's expectation is this: he is to be first. God must be first. When you become a Christian, you start serving the Lord, and some of us have been serving the Lord a long time, and we need these evaluation times because it helps us to really look at our life. Am I really making Jesus first? Am I really putting him at the center of my life? Is this really what is important to me? Is it the priority of my life? When the Lord, when God gave those commandments on Sinai, the words that he spoke there, I am the Lord your God. This is in Exodus chapter 20. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. No one is to be before him. No one or nothing is to be before God. Doesn't matter. There's a lot of things that suck up our lives, time and energy and resources. And the question is this really what God intended for you? Is this really God's plan for your life? And are you going to be able to please God by living your life, by putting him first in every area of your life? Now, you may not bow down to other gods as far as in an act of worship, but many of us, we have many other things in our life that sometimes take the place of God, of service, of worship to the Lord. Remember Mary and Martha, they were close companions to Jesus. Jesus came to their house. Mary sits at the feet of Jesus and is listening to his words. Martha is busy. She is serving, and you know, it says she's cumbered with all of these activities of service. And she gets a little irritated about it and goes to the Lord and says, "Lord, I'm busy. I'm serving. Look at all that I'm doing." And Mary, she's just sitting there at your feet. And so Jesus then explained to her what priorities are all about. He wasn't saying that service wasn't important, because we know that it is important to serve. He wasn't even saying it wasn't a good thing to do. He was just saying that when you have an opportunity to sit at the feet of Jesus, more important than service is being able to sit at his feet. That's the priority. And so he said, there's just one thing really needful. That's what he said to her. One thing is needful, Martha. You're cumbered with all these activities. None of them are necessarily bad. You know that sometimes the good is the enemy of the best. And we need to learn how to set our priorities. You can say, well, I don't do anything that's bad. I just do good things. And we can fill our life up doing a lot of good things. But what about the best things? What about the first things? That's what Jesus was saying to Martha and all the activities that she was involved in. And that is, there's something more important than the service that you're involved in. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. What couldn't be taken away from her? That thing that was eternal, sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing his words, that was eternal. She chose the good part. She chose that which could not be taken away from her, the eternal thing. So priorities for Christians are important. And all of the activities of our life, they're important. And it's good to be involved in serving and in doing a lot of things. But the question is, are we really doing what God is asking us to do? Even Jesus himself, when he came into this world, he said, "I've come to do my Father's business. I've come to do my Father's will." He knew exactly what his purpose was. He knew exactly what he was to do. Jesus could do anything. He could have done anything, but he understood that he was there not to do, he says in John 6:38, I'll get to the text here in a minute. He says in John 6:38, "I've come not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." His priority was to do the will of the Father. Amen. That's what he came to do. And then when Jesus was teaching the Sermon on the Mount, he gives us the words that most of us could quote from Matthew 6:33, from the principles of the kingdom of God. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. What was he talking about? Your houses, your shelter, your food, all those things that are basic and necessary in your life. He said, "You put me first, I'll make sure that everything else works out." That's another overriding principle. It goes all through the scripture, and that is, when you get your priorities right, when you put God first, everything else works out. Everything else falls into place. When you put God first, all these other things that we would consider important, but many times they're just kind of incidental things, when we do, then everything else falls into right order when we put God at that place, that first place in our life. Now, this is a New Testament principle. It's an Old Testament principle. You'll see it, an overriding principle throughout God's Word, the importance of putting God first, and how that God, if you will do what he asks you to do in putting him first, that he'll work in all these other areas of your life. He said, if you'll seek first the kingdom, then all these other things will be added unto you. When you put him first, then he will work. Now let's read in Exodus. Going back to the Old Testament, we'll read Exodus 13, verse number 2, Exodus 13 and 2. Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast. It is mine. Take notice of a couple things in that passage, and that is that verse says that the firstborn is to be sanctified. The word just means set apart. Set apart, set aside. It's mine. It's to be sanctified, set apart unto God, which makes it, when it's sanctified, it's made holy when it's set apart for God. And so it belongs to the Lord, even the firstlings of the flocks. God said, those are mine. Give them to me. Set them aside for me. They're to be set apart. They belong to me. They are mine. Now, skip on down to verse 11 of Exodus 13. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the womb, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the males shall be the Lord's. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. So that all through Exodus 30, you see the principle that the firstborn of the flocks belonged to the Lord. They were the Lord's, and they were to be brought to him. They belonged to the Lord. Verse 13 says, and when the ass, which we'll call from here on out in this message, the donkey, when the donkey is born, that firstborn animal that is born, when that animal is born, then it has to be redeemed. Why? It had to be redeemed because that animal was a part of the animals, the different animals that was set apart as unclean. They could not be brought to the Lord because they had already been classified as unclean. And so the only way that they could be brought, but they had to be brought to the Lord by virtue of another lamb that was chosen, that would redeem that animal's right to keep living. And so they would bring another lamb in the stead of the unclean. Oh, what a wonderful example it is of what God has done for each one of us, because all of us are unclean. We are unworthy. There's no good thing in us. Amen. We were corrupt. We were unclean. We were lost in our sinful condition, and it required that a lamb redeem us. And that principle is such a wonderful principle, redeemed by the lamb. Of course, remember the example in Egypt, when the angel of the Passover passed over Egypt, and it was only those homes that had slain the animal, the lamb, put the blood over the doorpost on the lintel there, and positioned that blood there around the doorway, that when the Passover lamb came, then it was the firstborn that was preserved or saved inside. And all over Egypt was the crying and the weeping of those that did not place the blood over their doorway. So you can see this overriding principle that the first belongs to the Lord, and even the unclean had to be redeemed. It all belonged to the Lord. And you and I were redeemed, and we belonged to God. And the only way that we can be offered to him is because of the shed blood of our Lord. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, the silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus, the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Amen. You see, what the Lord wants is first. He wants first. For you and I, in a practical way, He wants the first part of our day. He wants the first part of our week. That's why we are here on the Lord's Day in the house of God. This day belongs to the Lord. This is not an ordinary day. It's a day that we give to the Lord. Amen. And so we honor Him by giving Him the first part of our day, the first day of the week, and on we give Him the first in our life because He is worthy and deserving of first. Why do we do that? Why do we? Well, you know, when we bring the first and we give Him our first, it's a constant reminder to us of the fact that God has delivered us, that God has saved us. When they would bring those firstlings of their flock, it was a constant reminder to them, God has saved us, God has delivered us, He's brought us up out of Egypt and brought us to the promised land. He has delivered us, He has saved us. And they would bring those firstlings of their flock and of their increase to the Lord. And that would be this continual reminder to them of how much they should serve the Lord diligently and faithfully. Praise the Lord. You know that whenever the children of Israel came into the promised land even, and they were to go in and to be conquerors, it was given to them. The promised land was given to them, and Joshua was the leader that led them in, and every city they were allowed to go in and to take the spoil and the wealth and the riches, except for the first city, the city of Jericho. That city belonged to God. It was the Lord's. It was the first. And that got the whole nation in serious trouble because the next city was the city of Ai, much, much smaller city, easily conquered. And so only a smaller army was sent up against Ai. But to their surprise, they were utterly defeated. And Joshua falls on his face before the Lord. Lord, what have you done? What has happened? Why has this happened? And the Lord tells Joshua, get up from your prayer meeting. Get up from your place of prayer. This is not time to pray. This is time to act. Do the right thing. Sometimes the most holy and righteous thing you can do may not be necessarily pray about it, but do what you already know to do. Amen. Do what you already know to do. You've heard people say, well, I don't know, I'll just pray about it. Sometimes it's kind of an excuse or an opportunity to put something off. Yeah, I'll get around to that. I'll just pray about it. But God said to Joshua, Joshua, get up off of your face. There is sin in the camp. This defeat has happened because of sin in the camp. And after the examination of that, it's revealed that Achan and his family, they're the ones they had gone in. Achan had gone in and he had stolen what belonged to the Lord. The gold and the silver and the garments, and they were all hid in the bottom of his tent. And it was uncovered and revealed that he had stolen. The terrible, terrible price that Achan and his family paid because they had rejected the command of the Lord and the principle of the first. This belongs to the Lord. Give it to God. After that, they were able to conquer city after city after city. They would destroy the city, defeat the enemy, and take the spoil. And that was all fine, and that was God's plan. But Jericho and the spoil of Jericho belonged to the Lord. Amen. Now, that brings us, of course, to the principle of the tithe, because you can't talk about the first without talking about the tithe. The tithe, the Bible says, is the Lord's. It belongs to God. And it really is, as we've already described, it's the redemptive portion. That first that's brought is the redemptive portion. When you give to the Lord and you bring your tithe to the Lord, then it redeems or sanctifies everything else. You get your priorities set in order. If it's your time and you get your priorities right as far as putting God first in your life, get to the house of God on the Lord's Day. Put God first. Give Him some time every morning and spend some time with the Word of God and some time in the presence of God. And you get your priorities straight, then your days will be in much better order. Amen. The same thing is true of your resources, your treasure, your money that God gives to you. It's true that when you honor the Lord with it and you bring it to God, then the rest becomes redeemed or sanctified. And you're able then to do much better with the 90% than you could if you tried to live on 100%. When people say, "I can't afford to tithe," then I always answer and say, "You can't afford not to tithe. The tithe isn't even yours. It belongs to the Lord. So you give it to the Lord," Proverbs 3. And verse 9, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase." Amen. Your substance, and however that you are increased, then you honor the Lord. It's interesting that that word honor there comes from a Hebrew word, the word kabod. You've probably have seen or heard of that word before, because in some other places it's translated glory, or it means weightiness. So when we think about, you know, too much of the time, giving is certainly bringing your tithe to the Lord. It seems like that it's kind of made frivolous. I've even heard preachers say, "Let's get the offering out of the way so we can go on with the service. Let's get this part over with. And we don't want to talk about this." And honestly, those of you that are here all the time know that I don't spend a lot of time talking about money and finances. A lot of preachers get a bad rap because they say all they do is want your money. That's all they want. I remember when I was in Bible school, I worked in the summer months at a factory back home. And at lunch break, they found out quick that I was in Bible school and I was a preacher. And so the guys would rib me and tease me all the time. You know, preachers have to endure a few things along the way. And I remember them saying things to me like, "Man, it's going to be great for you. All you're going to have to do is stand up there for 30 minutes and give your talk. And then they take up all of that money and it's all yours. And the rest of the week you can just golf or fish or whatever you want to do." Those guys had no idea what they were talking about. And no concept of what it means to be in the ministry, the work of the Lord. But preachers get a bad rap. People say all they do is talk about money. We don't talk about money a lot around here. But we do believe what the Word of God says about it and about how we put God first. And this is one of the most important areas of our ability to put Him first, honoring Him, recognizing the kabod, the weightiness of it, the importance of it to God, that you put Him first. Why is it so important to God? The Bible says that it's important because it has to do with your heart condition. Where your treasure is, there your heart is. God knows that. God knows that wherever your money goes, that your heart is going right along with it. It's right there too. Whatever you're spending, you say, "I don't have that much money." Well, you have enough to go to Walmart. You have enough to go spend it here and there and maybe not a lot, but you do spend. We all do. And it all is a reflection of our heart. Amen. It's not a scheme. It's not a preacher scheme. It's not a church scheme on how to get money out of people. Actually, I like the way that our church is set up as far as the finances, because I don't know if people tithe or not. I don't get all the tithe. Some churches set up like that. I don't get all the tithe. I don't believe in that personally. But I do believe that, and I don't know if you pay tithes or not. The only way that I could know if you are a tithe payer or not is just by observation. And over the years, I've learned if people are unfaithful in other areas of their life, then there's a very good chance that they're unfaithful in that area as well. But I don't know. So I have no personal motives. I don't have any other reason other than to tell you that this is God's principle. If you'll put Him first, then God will sanctify the rest of what you have, and He will help you and will bless you and will provide for you. Amen. Praise God. So the first fruits of the land were to be brought to God, brought into the house of the Lord. And Leviticus 27 and 30, it says, all the tithes of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. So you see the holiness, the spiritual aspect of it. It's not just a gimmick. It's not a money thing. It's all about your heart condition. It's all about your love for God. It's all about your priority of putting God first in your life. Lay not up for yourself, Matthew 16, 6 and 19. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Your heart always follows along. And really, the appropriate way is, instead of saying, do you pay tithes, I guess a really more appropriate way to say it would be, do you bring your tithe to the Lord? Because the tithe already belongs to Him. Malachi gets so strong in the message that Christians flinch whenever you read Malachi chapter 3. It's like, oh, wow, that is really a strong message that Malachi brings, because he says, you have robbed God. You're a thief. That's strong. Especially when they responded and said, what are you talking about? Wherein have we robbed God? And he said, it's in your tithes and offerings. You've robbed the Lord in your tithe and your offerings. And so he says to them, what you need to do is bring the tithe into the storehouse. Where does it belong? It belongs in the storehouse, which is in the work of the kingdom of God, the local church, the storehouse for the ministries of the church. That there may be meat in my house, and prove me. The Lord says, you bring it to God, bring it to His house, and then you put God to the test and see if God will not be faithful. Prove me, He says, saith the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to contain it, to receive it. Do you believe? Obviously, you shouldn't bring your tithe to the Lord, because if I bring my tithe, then that means God's going to give me more. He's going to give me a lot more. No, the principle is put God first, and then God will take care of you. He will bless you. Put Him first. He'll make sure that your needs are supplied. Not only will He supply, but it says in verse 11, He says, and I will rebuke the devourer. We know who that is. We know who that is. That's the devil. That's Satan himself. He wants to devour everything that God has given to you, even your time and your money. He wants to to suck up all the treasures and the valuable things that you have and destroy them. God says, when you put me first, then I am going to provide for you. I am going to bless the remaining 90%. And I am going to rebuke Satan's efforts to devour your resources. Glory to God. And he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. One more verse is in verse 12. And all nations shall call you blessed. They will watch and observe. The world will see God at work in your life, in every area of your life. Praise God. So when you're putting him first, you're deciding to put him first, and you're evaluating your life, here's some areas where I'm not really putting God first. But when you bring your tithe, when you put him first, when you come to the house of God on Lord's Day, when you commit the first part of your day, the first part of your week, when you give your time and your resources and you put God first, then God begins to work supernaturally in every other area of your life. You know, it's a sad predicament that we are in the evangelical world today, that something like 28% of people who attend evangelical churches in America bring their tithes on a regular basis. Less than a third. The average amount that is given to churches is about 2.9%. The average evangelical gives 2.9% of their resources. What's the problem? The problem is a heart problem. The problem is a priority problem, and we're not putting Jesus first in our life. And that's where he deserves. One more scripture from the Old Testament. I know I'm running out of time here this morning. Is the book of Haggai, chapter 1. And this was, this prophet is speaking to those who have returned from captivity. And they restored their farms. They restored their homes, their businesses. And they're rebuilding the wall. They're rebuilding all of these things. But the temple is lying in waste. And God deals with them about their priorities. He says, you've taken care of yourself. You're dwelling in your sealed houses, your finished houses. You've got all these other areas all put together, taken care of. But the house of God is lying in waste. So here was his instruction. Haggai chapter 1, verse 5. It says, now therefore, saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And that's what we're asking you all to do today. Examine yourself. Consider your ways. Take a close look at your life. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages, earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. That's what happens whenever God is at first. Then everything else is out of order. The rest of your life is completely out of order. And you make more and you make more, but you put it into a bag. It seems to have holes in it because you're just not getting anywhere. You don't really have what you need because God isn't first. And he said, you have taken care of everything in your own personal needs, your personal life, but the house of God is laying waste. Consider your ways. Verse 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains, cut some tree down, bring the wood in, and start building the house of God. And I will take pleasure in it, he says, and I will be glorified, said the Lord. He was just simply telling them, your priorities are messed up. You've put yourself as more important than God and the things of God. And so get that priority straight so that you can see God working in every other area of your life. It's an important principle for us to follow that all of us need to examine. Consider your ways. Look very close. Take a good look at your calendar and your bank statement. Evaluate your days and your weeks and your life and all the things that seem so important to you. Some of them may be good. They may all be good, but they may not be in the proper order of priorities. Amen. Putting Jesus first in your life. Making him first in your life. And I pray that you'll just take a moment here this morning and this Lord's Day and examine yourself. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word, and thank you, Lord, that you can deal with us about the areas of our life, Lord, that we've gotten out of order. We've placed other things as more important than your kingdom, more important, Lord, than you. And we know, Lord, that we're to have no other gods before us. There's to be nothing else before you. And while we would never bow down to some idol, but yet we've allowed things in our life to become so important to you that we've pushed you back to second place or third place or fourth place in our life. Forgive us, Lord, for that. Forgive us for that and help us to realign our priorities here today and put you first right at the center of our life, because we want to see every other area, Lord. We want to see you working. We want your blessing. We want your favor. We want your touch upon our days, our weeks, upon our resources, on all that you have given to us. Thank you, Lord, and help us, everyone, to put you right at the center of our life. Hallelujah.